dropped my drink and she came walking by. By the time I got a grip, she slipped through my fingertips and left me with my big mouth open wide. I should have asked her faster, but I waited too long. In a red hot minute, like a flash she was gone.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Jury selection is underway in the trial of Hunter Biden. The president's only surviving son is accused of lying on the federal paperwork when he tried to buy a handgun 6 years ago. Dr. Anthony Fauci on Capitol Hill today, the president's former chief medical advisor, is testifying before the House Select Subcommittee on the coronavirus pandemic. Republicans alleging Fauci used his personal email for official matters during his time in office to evade public record laws.
Getting Fauci to appear before this committee is a boon for this committee. This is something that they've wanted for quite some time. As for Democrats here, what they have said is, A, they have thanked Dr. Fauci for his service during the pandemic, and they accuse Republicans of trying to play politics here and trying to call Dr. Fauci in before this committee, trying to tarnish his reputation with no real evidence that he was linked to any kind of malfeasance.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. This is ABC News. The no money down mortgage is making a comeback. It's being marketed to first-time home buyers who can't afford a down payment, and it's bringing back memories of the 2008 mortgage crisis.
Financial experts believe these loans can make sense for some potentially creditworthy buyers who just haven't scraped together a down payment. But let's say you lose your job or you get sick or you need to relocate and you need to sell your house. The risk is that then immediately you're on the hook for that 3% balloon payment. If home values fall, you may not be able to sell the home for as much as you bought it for, but you'll still have to come up with that cash or default on the loan.
ABC's Rebecca Jarvis. A man in Commerce City, Colorado, literally dodged a bullet. A fake silver necklace is being credited with saving his life. Police say the necklace stopped the bullet from piercing the man's neck. He only suffered a puncture wound. The shooting followed an argument. The suspect is charged with attempted homicide. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 7-6, visit staples.com/print for details.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Zhong's Optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ehlen. Governor Tony Evers weighs in on the unfolding administrative and financial problems in Milwaukee Public Schools. MPS is months behind in submitting critical documents to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Evers says it's too soon to decide on what needs to change at MPS.
Am I concerned? Hell yes. But at the end of the day, we have to work off the data that's available to us.
The MPS board Thursday delayed a vote on a district budget for the coming year. The district runs the risk of losing state funding due to the missing documentation. A Green Bay man will be staying in prison longer for attempting to hire a hitman.
29-year-old Odie Weber was sentenced on Friday to 4 years in prison for trying to put a hit on his ex-girlfriend. He pleaded no contest earlier this year to charges of attempted homicide, stalking, and violating a restraining order. Weber was already in jail when he tried to pay a fellow jail resident $25,000 to kill his ex. He also offered up information about how to track the woman down. That person turned the information over to the police, including some recordings of the conversation. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There's a blueprint to address Wisconsin's critical housing shortage.
A partnership between the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Wisconsin Builders Association, and Wisconsin Realtors Association has recommendations. Jerry DeShane, the League's executive director.
So what local governments can bring to the table is a fresh look at zoning and permitting.
The coalition's most recent briefing paper includes reducing minimum lot sizes and widths and adopting a traditional neighborhood development ordinance.
We essentially need to bring every tool to the table and use the one that works best for each community, but everybody can and should be doing something.
Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny and warm today, with highs soaring to the low 80s. A few shots of some showers and storms do sprinkle in this afternoon. Otherwise, we'll be mostly cloudy tonight, and more rain chances pushing in by tomorrow afternoon and lingering through the evening. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 72.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Man, Monday morning is getting off to a fast start. We will check in on the weather and get an update on what's happening in the used equipment markets. Then fire up the grill. It's time to kick off Pork Week and everything pork.
Live from June via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete Greg Peterson. Then it's Brett Kaysen from the National Pork Board. Directly following the news, Brett Waltz from BAMWX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, happy Monday morning, buddy.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
I hear that. Yeah. I hear that. You know, This might also get you just a bit excited.
Oh, now it's be careful.
Okay. It's Pork Week.
I know.
It's here.
It's the most wonderful week of the year.
Yeah, it's like an excuse. Well of course I had pork.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, of course. It is an excuse to just get crazy and try and sample and I'm telling you, I know that you're going to stay in KC there at the studio, okay? I get that. Sure. But Big Apple Joe and I will be making our way to Des Moines for the World Pork Expo. We will be there. Joe, what days are we going to be broadcasting live? Wednesday and Thursday, is that right?
That's right, Chip.
Okay.
Sounds like he's got it all figured out.
Well, I think he does. Jennifer Scheich, the editor of Farm Journal's Pork, has put in extra work in making sure that we were going to bring to you the best possible coverage from Pork Week, and she will be participating in several of the conversations that we have from the booth down there at Pork Week, the Farm Journal Pork booth. At the World Pork Expo. Yeah. We'll be there. Des Moines. Yeah. You should be there, too. I wish you were.
Everybody, you should all be there. Jennifer Scheich, let me just shout out. She's been working her little tail off, lining things up and getting it all put together so that the best coverage possible y'all folks.
That's right. That's great. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and get started in the news. What do you got, buddy?
Yeah, let's do. I've got the National Weather Service outlook here. Strong to severe thunderstorms possible from much of the Mississippi Valley into the Ozark Plateau and Southern Plains today, while heavy to excessive rainfall may bring flooding to parts of the Southern Plains and Ozarks. Areas of heavy rain and strong winds are ongoing in the Pacific Northwest. Later this week, Chip, a heat wave will impact the southwestern United States and California's Central Valley. The Dow and S&P 500 each finished with gains on Friday, while the Nasdaq lost ground. But all three registered losses for the week, even as they put up strong gains for the month of May. On the month, the Dow rose 2.3%, the The NASDAQ was up 6.9%, and the S&P 500 gained 4.8%. Doesn't look so stout this morning, Chip.
Well, no, it's backed off. There's no question about it. And we've got the Dow about 200 points lower right now. But those gains that we've got in the Dow, or those gains in the equity indexes, they backed well off the highs that were posted earlier in the month. So there's some running room to the to resistance at the all-time highs.
Well, a Barron's article says the Federal Reserve is not likely to lower interest rates in 2024 thanks to persistent inflation, a strong economy, and a resilient labor market. Despite earlier expectations for rate cuts, these conditions suggest the current federal funds rate target of 5.25% to 5.5% will remain unchanged. Chip, copper prices have reached an all-time high driven by expectations of strong AI demand and China's economic recovery, this despite high production by Chinese refineries and weaker than expected demand from China, the world's largest copper consumer. Prices are expected to remain elevated as traders and investors anticipate increased demand from data centers, renewable energy projects, and AI development.
Yeah, it's an energy-hungry event, I guess we would call it. AI, artificial intelligence, uses up a lot of power out there. There's no question.
Well, Congress returns from its Memorial Day recess with both the House and Senate voting tonight. President Biden will visit France this week for the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion and a state visit to Paris. Many lawmakers will also travel to Normandy, leading to a short legislative week with both chambers adjourning by Wednesday. Senate Democrats worry the closer they get to the election, the less willing Republicans will be to reach a deal on such major legislation as the 5-year reauthorization of ag and nutrition programs. House Republicans still may push for a floor vote on the farm bill before the election to force tough political votes for some rural Democrats in competitive races. You know, Chip, you hate to see something as important as the farm bill reduced down to tough political votes for some rural Democrats in competitive races. You know what I mean?
No. This is, Senate Democrats worry the closer they get to the election, the less willing Republicans will be.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
The Republicans in the House have been leading the way on this. I don't know any other way to describe that, while Democrats in the Senate have been dragging their feet on this. I don't know how else to describe that. So that's just,
Well, European natural gas futures surged over 10% to above 38 euros per megawatt hour due to an unplanned outage at a Norway processing plant. And OPEC Plus decided to extend its oil production cuts, a move aimed at bolstering a fragile market. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Chip.
Okay, today, severe weather risks are very much alive in the Central Plains, correct?
Once again, it seems like it's about every day or every other day at the very least, but down across parts of Oklahoma and Texas again, that's the biggest risk area that I see, probably the highest chance for tornadoes and some heavy rain. They've just been slammed with heavy rain over the past couple of weeks. And then a secondary area across parts of eastern Iowa, southern Wisconsin, and northern Illinois. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a couple of isolated tornadoes. I will say, though, in terms of the intensity of today's risk, it's not quite as bad as what we've seen at times over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, but with how easily the tornadoes have spun up this year, we want to be aware that the risk is out there and is very much alive, right?
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Okay. Talk to me about the Corn Belt, Western Belt, Eastern Belt. What does it look like?
Yeah, you know, Iowa, Illinois this week, kind of the further east that you go, I think that it's going to be a little bit more active. You still have those chances in there, especially the next couple of days. The further west you go, it's a little bit more sporadic. Parts of western Minnesota, the Dakotas, Nebraska, there are rain chances, but it's not completely soaked. It's not 1-2 inches plus of rain. There will be some dry spots in there and maybe parts of eastern Indiana, Ohio as well. So kind of a tale of two different regions there.
And then it dries out a bit, doesn't it, Brett?
It does. I will tell you that in terms of maybe getting a 5-day stretch of dry time, it's probably the best chance that I've seen for a widespread area across the Corn Belt. probably since winter, to be completely honest. It's been so active. I think late this week and into early next week, pretty good opportunity for dry time.
Yeah, it'll be nice not to see those risk areas outlined on the map for a little while, and hopefully we've got a period of that coming up. Good stuff, Brett. Thanks, buddy.
Yep, thanks so much, Chip.
You bet. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Up next, Greg Peterson, Machinery Beat, right here on AgriTalk.
We're living in the age of smart. Smartphones, smart cars. Heck, they even got smart refrigerators. And now, there's Smartfoil by Agroxy. Nah, it ain't for your kitchen. It's a biological foliar application for soybean growers. Specifically, the ones that know you gotta protect your beans at flowering if you want yield. Smartfoil reduces environmental stress, like heat and drought when it matters most, giving you better pod count and yield potential. It's the smart thing to do for your soybeans. So ask your retailer about Smartfoil by Agroxine or visit bigbeanbloom.com to learn more.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmers' first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to DakotaShine.com or call 888-996-7801.
Chip! Davis. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. We've got something to talk about. It's a big day. I didn't even realize why. I woke up and I was very excited and enthusiastic about the day, not really understanding why.
Yeah.
We start a brand new comp book today. On Friday, I finished one of my books of notes. It goes all the way back to January 12th. It was a big book, yeah. We'll revisit some highlights in the fourth segment. I'm going to start a whole new book today. Woo!
I can't wait. Good stuff. All right. Let's bring in Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Hey, Greg, how's it going, man?
Hey, good, guys. How you doing?
Doing real fine, real fine. Let's waste no time. Jump right into it. What you got on the pick of the week?
Pick of the week, a little different angle this week. Quite often we're talking about crazy low-hour tractors, combines, skid steers, sprayers, highlighting those items, which are super interesting. But this week, let's go the other direction, a little higher hours. So last Thursday, in New Salem, North Dakota. It was a little farm estate auction by Pfeiffer Auctioneers. Older equipment on the sale, not a huge sale, but a couple items caught my eye. One was a tractor, a 1990 Case IH 7140 mechanical front wheel drive. Looked nice. Had 12,172 hours on it. And it did have newer tires, which obviously is a huge factor these days, but it brought $39,500, which when you monkey around with the filters in our auction price section at machinerypete.com and filter by hour ranges, $39,500 is the highest auction price I've seen on a 7140 with over 10,000 hours. Now, I know a lot of times when tractors have a zillion billion hours on them, and they sell at auction, it, you know, they don't know exactly, obviously. So at least of the mass of 7140s that were reported with over 10,000 hours, 39,500 is the highest I've seen. The previous high was 34,000 back 4 years ago in a Brownton, Wisconsin sale. We saw a 91 model just over 10K go for like 34. So almost 40K last Thursday. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing about it, Greg, when you've got a tractor with over 12,000 hours on it, it's not guaranteed, but more than likely, every time the guy turned the key on that tractor, it started.
Well, yeah, you know, 1980s, 1990s, 1970s tractors, talk about them a lot. And when we see the super low hour, nice ones, obviously, I mean, extreme example, but that 92 model 44 or 40 55 with 22 hours out of Wisconsin back in end of April for $275. But again, I've always just enjoyed, you know, not just the low hour stuff, but I mean, whatever, 15,000 hours, put it up for sale. What did it bring? And these things get the job done. Like you say, you turn the key, they go. And if they have an issue, you know, it's not a humongous repair bill. Usually you just kind of do your thing. And anyway, 39,500. It was another item on the sale Thursday. Kind of caught my eye. Livestock sector, of course, has been pretty strong. Livestock equipment related. They had a 2012 Travelong 24-foot aluminum livestock trailer. Looked pretty sharp. That brought 16,500. And I believe that was the fourth highest or the third highest auction price on a 12 model Travelong 24-foot aluminum trailer the past 5.5 years. So just a good solid price there, 16,500.
Yeah. Yeah. And boy, that livestock equipment, whether it be baling equipment or the loader tractors, here the livestock trailer, it seems to be in high demand at least at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That's definitely where the heat is with the auction prices. The remaining heat, lingering heat, I guess you'd say, from the high horse stuff has cooled off, as we would expect with the pressure corn and beans we've seen here in 24. But loader tractors, hay equipment, been very strong. It kind of is what it is. Yeah. I think the supply side on the loader tractors specifically, we're not seeing quite the run up that we see on the higher horse tractors on the dealer lot, which keeps the pressure more applied when a good one shows up at auction.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Mentioning the inventory at the dealers out there, have you noticed any movement that we need to be aware of in that inventory of tractors or combines?
Well, I think just generally, you know, we've seen first half of 24 here, just a continual increase. I wouldn't say it's, not like anything I've not seen before. I mean, it's just, I think the piece that gets lost is that, I mean, frankly, we're just coming off of historic lows that no one had ever seen before. So yes, the inventory is higher, high horse tractors and combines, and the market, the dealers are dealing with it. So we're seeing, you know, items flow out to auction. Try to keep stuff moving for sure.
Yeah, and the inventory of new has got to be something that is in question right now, just with the announcement that we got from Deere late last week about some layoffs that are going to be happening out there. It's
it goes It just goes back to that word I'm described. My word of 2024 is recalibrating.
Yep.
So it's in some sectors, we're recalibrating a little harder than maybe the mid-horse tractors. Right. But, you know, I guess nothing new. We've obviously been seeing these ups and downs, and it's agriculture. I mean, holy cow, last year it didn't rain here. Now in Minnesota, it won't stop raining. So it's just is what it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, we better get to what you got coming up. What's on your
busy
radar?
Busy week. Now, today, folks, go to thestephisgroup.com, the online dealer auction, like we were talking. Some dealers trying to move some inventory. Our friends at Midwest Machinery here in Minnesota and Wisconsin offering some very, very high-quality equipment today. It sells at noon central on stephisgroup.com. A couple highlights. They got a 23 model 612R sprayer. I've only seen maybe five or six of those hit the market. So that one only, this one only has 157 hours on it. Tractors, pair of 21 model 9620 RXs, just under 800 hours. The other one over 1500. 21 model 9570 RX, 863 hours. A 20 model 8R370, 700 plus hours. A 22 model 8R410, 230 hours. Little lower horse, a 7R250. 22 model, 347 hours. So it'll be very interesting.
Wow.
To see, you know, what these tractors go for today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be a good test right there with that number of tractors and that number of low hour units out there. That'll be, that will be interesting.
That will be. And we'll follow it up tomorrow. Our friends at Merit Auctions, having, their, consignment auction online sale at their new facility, Fort Madison, Iowa. Check it out, folks. Go to meritauctions.com. Maybe saw the video, preview video we posted Sunday on this one of my friend Jim Huff with Merit Auctions. Gave us a little preview, but again, some very nice equipment, a 21 model John Deere 8RX 410, 715 hours, a 22 model 8R310, 718 hours, 22 model 8R370, just over 1,400 hours, four John Deere 6120Es, a couple others that caught my eye. How about this? A pair of 24 model John Deere 5075Es with 3 and 9 hours. So brand new there.
Brand new, yeah.
If you're looking for skid steers, they got 9 selling tomorrow, including a 22 Bobcat T66, 374 hours. And as Jim pointed out in the video, a very sharp Heston 1389 mower conditioner. So good sale tomorrow there. Check it out at meritauctions.com.
Okay. All right. And then there's another online dealer auction on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll stick around the upper Midwest here, just about an hour from me in Faribault, Minnesota. My friends at Maticek implement online dealer auction on auction time on Wednesday, selling 6 Case IH tractors for you red tractor lovers out there. Some really good loader tractors here. A 23 model Case IH Farmall 120C. 1,103 hours, a 22 model, 120C with a loader, with lower hours, 837 hours. 21 model Farmall 55C with a loader, only 9 hours on that thing, 3 years old. A 21 model 75C with a loader, only 190 hours. And then a pair of Maxims, right in that sweet spot. Now, these do not sell with loader, but very nice tractors. They got a 22 model Maxim 150, 678 hours, and a 19 model Maxim 145 with just under 2,000 hours. So check out Maticek.com and then just click on their auction tab, folks. You can check out that. Again, it's on auction time on Wednesday.
Okay, auction time on Wednesday. Man, it's a busy week. You're going to have lots to choose from for next week, aren't you?
Lots of choices, yeah. It will be interesting. Yep. Stay tuned.
Yep, no doubt, no doubt. All right, thanks, Greg. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Now it's time to kick off our Pork Week coverage here on AgriTalk. We are going to be talking about producer engagement at the national level with Brett Kaysen from the National Pork Board. That is next here on AgriTalk.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. July milk up 20 to 2049, August up 12 to 2062, September up 15 to 2053, October milk up 5 to 2013. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly lower, with the exception of the nearby live cattle markets. Higher box beef prices helping to support the live cattle markets. Big risk-off type of trade, though, in the rest of the cattle complex. Same with hogs. Not a lot of fresh fundamental news to move hogs higher. July live cattle, up 45 cents to 182. August feeder cattle down 82 cents to 255.57. June hogs down 40 cents to 93.95. At the Chicago Board of Trade today, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly lower on a risk-off type of trade today. While there has been some rains across many areas of the corn and soybean belt planting at the near five-year average, that's pressuring prices, along with some of the first crop reports coming out showing the crop off to a good start. The big drop in the stock market due to economic concerns pressuring corn and soybeans, also pressuring wheat as well today. Matif wheat milling prices are also moving lower. July corn down 3.5 to 442 and 3/4. New crop down 4 to 463. July beans down 17.25 to 1187 and 3/4. New crop down 19.25 to 1165 and 1/4. With markets, I'm Brian Winnekin.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
You know, it's funny when the stars align like that, isn't it, Davis?
It really is. It almost feels like something big is about to happen.
It really does. We've got our first Pork Week segment of the week coming up, and Grease Hog is got the bump music for that segment. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, let's bring in Brett Kaysen, Senior VP of Producer and State Engagement for the National Pork Board. Brett, hey, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you?
I'm living the dream. Pork week here Monday morning. So thanks for having me on, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
You bet. Glad that you are here. Talk to me about your role there at the National Pork Board. What does the VP of producer and state engagement do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I'd like to say I've got the best job in the world, and my daily duties are to connect with pig farmers all across this great country, as well as globally, and then our 42 state pork associations. So a lot of your listening audience would have a state pork association that they're connected to and get engaged with them and their staff as well. So it's all about relationships with pig farmers all the time, and truly blessed to have the opportunity to work on behalf of America's pig farmers.
Very cool. Very cool. So what is happening at the MPB to encourage this engagement? You've got the Consumer Connect program rolling there now, right?
Really excited about the Consumer Connect work. As your listeners probably know, 2023 was not a very great year for the American pig farmer from a profitability perspective, and then had the opportunity to listen to the markets just a moment ago and seeing how soft the futures are in the pork protein space. And this Consumer Connect work that the National Pork Board is leading is all about how do you talk to consumers by demographic, by generation, and create a greater level of prevalence and relevance for pork as a preferred protein. And so couldn't be more excited about the domestic market development work we're doing here at the National Pork Board.
What are you finding out as you talk with consumers about their, is the industry delivering the product that they expect? What is the longer term strategy for building demand?
We've got an opportunity for sure to connect with Gen Zs and millennials. And the example I like to give people, and for those of you that know baby boomers, my mother's a baby boomer. I always thank her. I helped her this Sunday on her farm and said, hey, thanks to the boomer consumer, they have been the best customer of pork over time. But talking about relevance with millennials and Gen Zs, we are not as relevant with those generations, and we need to be. And an example I'd give you is, you know, the boomer consumer generation was comfortable in purchasing a 9 to 11 pound ham and working yep. through that as a family. And yeah. the millennial Gen Zs, where they're at today is they're like, I want a 1/4 pound ham that's pre-sliced and ready to go. And I think that example of the variation of relevance among generations is what's getting us excited that we can digitally target and talk to people and visit with them about what their preference is in this wonderful protein called pork.
Yeah, Gen Z, a lot of the exposure that they get to pork is bacon, right? And it's bacon as a condiment, not so much as a standalone item.
Now, bacon's always a winner across the yeah. generations. If we could have 52 bacons, we would be in great shape, for sure. But and to be quite frank, let's celebrate the positive. And the positive is processed pork across the generations is doing very well. Where we're seeing the decline is in the fresh pork category. And as the data comes in, as we start to analyze that, you know, from now on, as you move out to 2032, if we don't make pork more relevant to these younger generations, we'll see another decline of 1.7 pounds of fresh pork per capita consumption moving out here over the next decade. And that's something we look to reverse, and we will reverse with this new Consumer Connect strategy.
Gotcha. The new guidelines on pork preparation, did that move the needle in a positive way at all, or is that something that is still working into the system?
I would say it's still working into the system, but did okay. definitely have an impact. And you're relating to the 145, please.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so when
yep.
we talk about Consumer Connect, what we've been talking about here in a short time is, okay, generational differences, ethnic differences, product, you know, preference differences. But there's a lot of variables that go into this demand creation space. And one of those is, you know, how do people prepare the product? And we have to teach them not only to give them a recipe, but the appliance that you use yeah. for that recipe, and then the cooking methodology. And 145, please, was such a successful piece of the value proposition for our farmers. And we continue to drive that, but there's more work to do in that space for sure.
Okay. All right. So what is the plan to use the research that you've got there to build this demand? How does it all come together to keep the industry kind of, you know, marching in time to build that demand out there.
Your question is perfectly timed. I just stepped out of our producer board of director meeting to be here with you on air, and a lot of the producers were asking that same question.
Yeah.
And here's what we do. We've broken this consuming public down to seven different segments. And I've said for a long time, as a producer myself and as a staff member at the National Pork Board, how do you talk to 339 million Americans effectively and efficiently about pork? And what our demand team has taught me is you don't have to talk to 339. You talk to seven segments. Of those seven segments, we've identified four as the opportunity to grow both volume and value. And the thing that's exciting about this work is, and I bet you some of you have one in your hand or it's laying on a desk in front of you, this digital device we call our smartphones is how we talk to these folks. And the data's better on who to approach, and the tools are better, and that we can digitally target to talk about this wonderful thing, pork, and make it relevant to them in their heart, in their mind, and to their family.
Oh, cool. Cool. You know, and the family aspect, there's more and that generations that you're trying to reach out to, their families are getting bigger all the time. And putting pork on the table for a family of four or five is a whole lot different than, triggering the curiosity of one, and putting it on the table for the family is so important, isn't it?
So important. And then people are busy. And I would argue most of us in our personal and professional lives are as busy as we've ever been. And I remember as a kid growing up, as a son of boomer generation, we would fundamentally sit down at the table, have a conversation, and pork was center plate. And that's different, even in our family, with a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. They're busy doing all these other things. Moms and dads are busy. They have jobs. And sometimes pork is better utilized as an ingredient, such as ground pork and a bell pepper. That looks very much different than the pork chop center of plate, methodology I grew up with at dinner. And they're looking at convenience. They're looking at bite-sized snacks on the go, and we're learning from them, this younger generation, both single and family-oriented, on what they need from us as an industry so that we can continue to grow volume and value, and also that the whole pork supply chain wins along the way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and if there's that, well, bacon has been a big winner on the fast food menus, obviously, over the years. And every now and then the McRib shows back up and there's all kinds of buzz about that. But getting a pork product on a fast food restaurant menu, man, it just seems like that would be such a huge win for the industry.
Where you're going is we've been talking a lot about consumers, but food service. Food service is key for the pork industry. And you've mentioned bacon several times, right?
Yep. Yep.
That augments other products. And I will tell you, I want it to be clear that we're playing in that business to business approach as well, is how do we continue to innovate pork products that it's relevant at the retail level and it's relevant at the food service level. And those partnerships look different, depending on the franchise or the business unit in which they run. But boy, we've had a lot of excitement over the last 90 days of the various food service folks that we've been meeting with. And innovation is in the pipeline, and you'll see more of that delivered here over the next 9 months.
Cool. Cool. Very cool. Very cool. Okay. I'm heading to Des Moines. What should I expect to see down there? What should producers expect?
Well, you're coming to the Super Bowl. I'm a big football fan, and most people think the Super Bowl's in February. I said, no, you got it wrong. It's in June. And this year, it's June 5th and 6th. It's called the World Pork Expo at the Iowa State Fairgrounds, brought to you by the National Pork Producers Council. And folks, it's just a wonderful event in terms of, World Pork Expo. There's going to be plenty of pork for you to consume and taste and lots of networking opportunities and just the ability for the producer community to get together and unite. It is the largest pork event in the world. It's my favorite week of the year. And come to the Iowa State Fairgrounds on June 5, 6. You will walk for a little while, and then you'll taste a tasty treat, and then you'll move on and you'll have a conversation with a producer, and it just makes for a wonderful experience. Plus, go to the Varied Industries building. All the latest and greatest technology from a farm level perspective will be there as well. And so, boy, again, it's my Super Bowl. It's the pork industry Super Bowl, and no better week than World Pork Expo week.
Yeah. And what an opportunity to network with producers from all over the country. It's a really cool event. It's low pressure. It's just a really cool event for all the networking that can take place. Brett, I'll see you down there, okay?
Look forward to seeing you. It's going to be fun.
All right. Brett Kaysen, Senior VP of Producer and State Engagement for the National Pork Board. We'll see him down in Des Moines. We will be at booth V785 on Wednesday and Thursday.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin dairy farms contribute an estimated $43 billion to the state economy? No other single product produced in Wisconsin creates a greater economic impact, and milk is the top commodity in Pepin, Pierce, Buffalo, Dunn, and Eau Claire counties. Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Farm First Dairy Cooperative, where it's always been about dairy producers and their cows, as it should be. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com for more information.
This June Dairy Month, we celebrate our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, and develop the next generation of young leaders. Farm First is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to its members. Thank you to all dairy farm families this June. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how we put farm families first.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport, Mondovi.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Life on the soil, so it's like it's a part of you. We're doing conservation programs for the USDA. We've been doing no-till, nutrient management, and we do cover crops on the no-till stuff. These practices are really paying off. Our sugar beets have gone from 18 ton to we're pushing 35 to 40 ton now. When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. You're squawking over $20 billion. It's investment into the future for everybody.
John Burke is the owner of Burke Family Farms, Bay City, Michigan. John, tell me about how you use USDA conservation programs at your farm.
Well, over the years, we've been in numerous different programs, from the Conservation Security Program to the EQIP programs. We even had some local watershed programs. You know, we started reducing our tillage 30 years ago. So, you know, it was kind of an expensive process back then. So it was really nice to have some funding there from the USDA to kind of help cover some of them costs.
Absolutely. So staying consistent in the conservation effort is important in your practice, right?
Right. To stay in it consistently, it's a very expensive. So, you know, a lot of farmers will jump in and out of these programs because, you know, they get funding for a year or two and the funding disappears. So they really don't see a big benefit in a couple of years of cover cropping. You know, it takes 4, 5, 6 years sometimes before you see a huge benefit.
What is the status of that funding that's available through the IRA and other conservation programs? Is that funding in danger now?
From what I understand, yes, it is. If you worry about climate change, this is how we protect the climate, is by sequestering that carbon. We can do that very easily with no-till and cover crop. And if we stay in business, we can protect the climate. We can provide food at a cheaper price, because if the farmers are not here in the U.S., what's our alternatives for food? You have to go across the pond somewhere and buy it.
Right. Food security is national security. That is John Burke, Burke Family Farms in Bay City, Michigan.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Introducing GrowGetters with Davis Michelson, a podcast that shines light on agriculture's most innovative side hustles. Find the latest episodes on Farm Journal's YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that sounds like an exciting podcast that I would like to like and subscribe. Yeah, I might even click the notifications bell to make sure I don't miss a single episode of GrowGetters. GrowGetters, the most exciting, revolutionary podcast ever conceived. We're so very proud of it. Yeah,
we'll be doing.
That's right.
How can you can't afford not to listen?
Yeah, no, absolutely not, and I'm not exaggerating. We're doing it. We're gonna do some taping this week. We got some new shows coming up. Super excited about it. It's gonna be awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis Michelson here with Chip Lorre as well. Some good conversations. Still, you know, we got to talk a little weather. Still volatile, bro.
Oh,
still
definitely volatile.
I'm looking at the weather map. I mean, it.
There are some of those risk areas defined, aren't they?
Yes. If WRDN isn't getting wet, it's coming, gang. I'll say that. And Oklahoma's firing back up again. Arkansas is it clear down into Mississippi. It's there's weather out there, folks.
Yeah, absolutely, and it has, you know, it's already been a long, severe weather season. I don't know how else to say it.
Yep.
It has been a very active. It's been going on for a while, and I'm telling you, when there is even a minimal risk, as there is today in most areas. Even when it's a minimal risk, pay attention and don't lose track of what's happening around you.
Yep. That's right. That's always good advice, you know?
Well, that's right.
I mentioned this earlier in the show. Let me, new listeners, or perhaps if you haven't really put this together before, as there are conversations going on AgriTalk, for example, today's conversation with Brett Kaysen from the National Pork Board, I sit here and take notes. So then Chip and I can have, you know, we can attempt an intelligent conversation at the end of the show, wrap it up, have some fun, yada, yada. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I haven't always used notebooks, but for the last few years, I've been using composition notebooks with the little splotches on the front of it. And I finished one on Friday. I filled up a book. Now that one reached back all the way to January 12th, 2024.
Okay.
And I thought let's pick through. Let's find some nuggets. You wanna?
Yeah.
On the 12th of January, we had Jeff Peterson. At that point, temperatures were falling hard. He was surprised at the corn yield in Nebraska at 182. Corn was down, but calls it a win. Closed 6 cents off the low.
Yep. PM show.
Yep,
right
that's
there.
The first page of my book right there. Yep.
Gotcha. Yep. Gotcha. Okay, he was surprised by the one. Oh, it would have been just coming off the annual production summary.
Yes.
That's why he was talking about the Nebraska yield at 182 in the middle of January. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I think there's still some people that are wondering exactly how a 182 happened in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, we find out every year just how resilient the management practice, well, how resilient the new genetics in corn are, what the crop protection and the traits provide, mm-hmm. and what the management does on that corn crop. And it's, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a memory.
Here's a nugget from later that month from CVD. Don't let perfection kill excellence. I love that. Yeah. A deer in the headlights gets run over.
Right, right.
I like
talking about let's stay active on marketing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, here's one. January 31st. Now, I'm not trying to be a gotcha guy here, Chip. In fact, I'm giving you a chance to roll this back. You ready for this?
Oh,
January
man.
31, Chip says, this may be 1983 all over again. Crops fine until the 4th of July, and then it all fell apart.
Well, let me check my email.
Okay.
And as I check my email, I see a message in there from one Mr. Sean Hackett at Hackett Financial Advisor. Maybe this is setting up to be another 1983.
Hey-oh! Just seriously, that's fresh in your inbox today?
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, Hackett was on Market to Market over the weekend.
Okay.
And he was talking, as I understand, sorry, Paul, I did not watch this weekend. I didn't see it. But as I understand, he was talking about the potential for the development of La Nina in the second half of the year to create 1983 type scenario. Now, 1983, the reason that I remember that so clearly and vividly is because it was my senior year. Okay. And we were getting ready for the steer show, the Oxford Live Wires steer show, and beef show down at the Wapsipinicon Park. And we were getting ready on July 3rd and it was raining like crazy. I mean, rained like crazy. Thought we were going to have to cancel the steer show for the 4th of July. As I recall, we went ahead and went forward with that. Congratulations to Paul Foyce. He won that show.
Attaboy, Paul.
But it was the last rain that we got until September 8th. Mm-hmm. And it, with the genetics that we had in the field, with the crop protection that we had in the field, with the management that we had in the field, it at that time, it killed the crop. I mean, just smoked it. I don't know how that kind of a scenario would play out on a corn crop right now. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. I got one more.
Okay.
84 games to win the Central League. The Cubs to take it in 84.
I'm staying with that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
There's still a great chance for them to win 84 games.
And the notebook doesn't lie.
And there's still a great chance that 84 games will be enough to win the National League Central. So we'll see.
Outstanding.
All right. Hey, good one, Davis.
That's fun, right?
Break that out. I love that. Okay, thanks for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Matthew Elliott, SDSU Extension Agribusiness Specialist. And tomorrow morning, Jim Minter here on AgriTalk.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Go outside, I want to be. But so much waiting for me. Yeah, I want to go outside, I want to be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use Zip.